I'm Jeff Newkirk, the host of Game Changers. I talk to people who have done something to make this world a better place. People who are working to make a significant and profound change. So it's simple. Inspire and educate and let's go change this world. Welcome to the show. Hey, welcome back to the podcast, Game Changers. I want to talk about a pretty sensitive and troubling subject this morning, foster care. And in the country, in the United States, we have about 700,000 children in foster care. And in Texas alone, where I am, and my guest today, Rebecca Smith-Nash, we have about 50,000 kids in foster care. And 80% of those have some type of a mental health need. And many of those, 80% of our prison inmates, grew up in foster care. So my point is, in bringing this up, is this is a very important subject. This is something that we need to address today. It's not something that we can wait on. It's something that we need to take action on. And I have the perfect game changer here to talk about it. She's out making a difference. She's done incredible work so far. She's a counselor. She runs two organizations, maybe more. I don't know. She's everywhere. Rebecca Smith-Nash, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me. I'm excited to be here and share a little bit more about what we're doing at Love Heals Youth and help raise awareness about the foster youth that are out there.
Were the stats, have they changed much? These are the stats that I got off of your website as well as the website USA Facts on the internet. So you can't believe everything on the internet, but I'm assuming much of this data is pretty close.
I think it's all pretty close. It's constantly evolving, and mostly because you've got kids coming in every day into care and also exiting care. And so there's nothing concrete or static about it. It's just always evolving. And so I think you're going to find similar numbers regardless of where you look.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background. I mean, you have a wealth of experience. You've done incredible work in the time that you've been in counseling. Tell us a little bit about your background.
All right. So I started with my bachelor's degree at what was called Southwest Texas State University, okay, but is now Texas State University in San Marcos. But I graduated from Southwest Texas. I did my master's degree at Sam Houston, and then I worked on my PhD. I like to joke that I was a beauty school dropout because I'm all but dissertation. but I did work on my PhD there. I did not finish. And in the midst of working on my PhD program, I was starting my private practice. I was also working at the Harris County Jail down in Harris County,
which Houston.
Which is also the third largest county jail in America. And they have 10,000 inmates at any given time. And so there are a lot of logistics, a lot of things going on. And I decided that it was time for me to just move forward and work hard on my private practice. And so it didn't finish. And it's too late now to go back.
Oh, it's never too late. Never too late. But you're making some waves and doing great work now. So I understand if the time is just not there for you.
Right. And so whenever I started my private practice, philanthropy work has always been very high on my priority list. So I started working with kids in foster care, and that's the foundation of my practice. And in doing so, I ended up working with families that are going through high conflict divorce and custody modifications. And that was a very unique niche to fall into. I was intrigued by it for so many reasons.
Can you describe custody modification? Because I read that in your bio, and I don't know what that means. I mean, I can kind of guess, but what is a custody modification?
So I grew up in a family. My parents are married 51 years, very supportive, very nurturing, zero fighting, very Christian based, and the faith is strong. And so whenever I encountered family law, like I said, I was just intrigued by it because it was so unusual. So what happens is there's two ways that they would come to my office. One is that it's a new divorce. So mom and dad are just now splitting up and it's high conflict. They're fighting. I mean, it was ugly before they filed for divorce, and the divorce has just been a catalyst for this huge explosion of conflict, and kids are caught in the middle and they're really
struggling. And who suffers? The kids.
our kids. That's right. And so there's a lot of resistance and refusal to go back and forth between the homes. There might be some rejection or alienating behaviors going on. And so the kids are rejecting a parent or completely becoming estranged from the parent. And then the custody part is mom and dad have now been divorced for a while and kids are starting to refuse to go over to a parent's home. And so now it's trying to figure out, and there's really kind of two avenues that you would take for those services. One would be reunification services to help the children reunify with that parent. And the other one would be co-parenting at work. So it's either called parent facilitation or coordination or co-parent counseling. And really, it's about when I get a phone call from an attorney or from a mediator, somebody that's working with the family, that from a litigation or a legal standpoint, and they explain to me that the children are suffering and they're having a hard time going between their two homes and all the things that are going on and the kids really need therapy. And while I also believe that is true, we have to get to the root of the problem. And that's with most of the things in this world. In order for us to resolve that particular issue, we have to get to the root first. And so the root of the problem, when
otherwise we're just band-aiding it, right?
Right. And if I only get them for an hour once a week or once every other week, then I can do a whole lot in that hour. But I'm sending them right back, into an environment that is still self-imploding. So I tell the folks that are calling, asking for me to get involved, we need to start with mom and dad and hopefully concurrently working with the kids. But we have to start with mom and dad and they have to get on the same page in the same book to be able to help the kids resolve that. Because what I see over and over and over again is I can work with the kids and we'll never really truly have resolution in that resistance and refusal because we're not addressing the root of the problem. Versus when I start with mom and dad and we get them to a peaceful place, then the kids' issues literally resolve overnight.
That's kids are a product of their environment, right? I mean, they see their parents as they are the end all be all. Mom and dad are the go-to. They're everything to them. And when they're not working together and there's conflict, they don't know what to do. The kids are just being destroyed.
Yes. So I use one of these stories with my own children just to kind of explain in a very simple way how critical it is for mom and dad to be well-adjusted. So here's my story. My boys were about 1 and 3, maybe 1.5, 3.5 years old. And my parents at the time had traded in their RV and went old school and got a pop-up camper. So, because who doesn't love that? And so they put it up in Huntsville State Park, which we all know there are no bears anywhere to be seen in Huntsville, right?
So they've north of Houston, right off of Interstate 45.
Yeah, zero bears. And so we're up there and the sun starts to go down and my dad is outside doing some stuff and it's a pop-up. So the sides of it are canvas. And so they're loose. And my mom and I are sitting inside the pop-up and my boys are on one of the beds, just bouncing around and goofing off. And then my dad starts growling like a bear and just lightly popping the canvas on the camper. And we come from a long line of scarers. And so this is so from the day they were born, we have to start scaring them. Not really. So anyway, you can see this look of terror in their eyes, like there's a bear out there.
Yeah. And what's going on?
It's all just split seconds, right? And so the boys are panicked and they're 1.5, 3.5 years old. And they look over at my mom and I, and we're about to fall out of our seats, cracking up, laughing. And so it was instantaneous that they shifted into, they started laughing. And then you can see that light bulb go off. Oh, that must be granddad. And so they went from pure terror to cracking up within a matter of seconds. And it was all based on the reaction they saw from my mom, from their Mimi and from their mom.
Yeah. And
that was so indicative of how critical it is in our reactions in the moment, because kids look to us to guide them, where that trusted adult is, to guide them on that emotional roller coaster or just emotional reaction in every situation. And so that's my very simple story or explanation of how critical it is. And I think it's powerful.
But that's all telling. That's all telling, because it's, are you going to be comfortable or are you going to be scared and terrified? Well, I see mom and she is comfortable laughing. So everything must be okay. Yeah. Now, if you had the opposite reaction, there'd be absolute terror. Their fright would have grown exponentially. But yeah, what you're saying is so spot on. And what we experience today in our world is all of this discomfort, and kids are terrified, and there's nobody there that they can look at who's laughing.
Right.
Right.
Very well said. So when I got into family law, and this was long before our courts in our county became specialized, so everybody heard everything at this time. And so that's how I really kind of naturally, organically entered into the family law niche, because I was there working with foster care and child welfare cases. And the kids that I would work with that are in foster care were just craving to go home to mom and dad. They crave it. And it's one thing to be abused or neglected or forsaken by your family, but then you go into another situation where you're still experiencing that same type of environment or similar environment with strangers. And so these kids, we have proven that there is abuse. It's been founded. And then I've got my family law cases where the kids are rejecting a parent. And prior to the divorce, they could tell me stories about going on family vacations and having a great relationship with their parents. And then suddenly there's this abrupt shift and they're rejecting a parent. So that's really what caught my attention. And then I just couldn't fathom the idea of rejecting or hating a parent so much that I didn't want to see that parent. Because when I look at my own life, I can see how influential both of my parents have been throughout my entire life from birth to present day. And so to reject a parent is to reject an entire half of who I am. And so I was very passionate, still am very passionate about that. And then to bring that skill set that I acquired in specializing in high conflict divorce and custody modification over to the child welfare side and helping with reunification for the children with their parents, if we're able to get their parents in a place where they're stable and steady and no longer experiencing whatever the initial issue was. It's been a really cool parallel to use those skill sets for both types of cases.
Well, and you're growing up, you said you grew up in a loving home, you know, parents that have been married for over 50 years, and I'm assuming that you still get along with them, you still see them regularly. How did you get involved in foster care, and what was it that inspired you to continue on in this work? Because I got to tell you, I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of people that are involved in nonprofits, folks that get involved in different charities, but rarely have I met somebody with the same level of passion for what they're doing as you. I mean, you are driven, man, and don't get in the way of Rebecca Smith-Nash, because she's going to bulldoze you over in order to make some progress. So what was it that inspired you to get started?
It's really funny that you asked that. So my whole life, I've always been drawn to the foster care system. My favorite movie growing up was Annie, and I think I watched it every day. My favorite TV show was Punky Brewster. And again, I watched that almost every day. But I never really read.
If only those shows were on today.
Well, you can stream them. So my boys have seen these shows and they watch Punky Brewster. And it's funny, as I watch it as an adult and have the knowledge, the foundation now of foster care and the knowledge of what foster care looks like. So now when I watch it, I cry at every episode. But whenever I was a kid, I didn't fully understand exactly what was going on. And then I used to ask my parents all the time, can we have foster kids? Can we take care of foster kids? And we moved a lot. And anyway, long story short, we just never got to do that. And so whenever I did my master's degree in counseling, my idea of going into this field was to work with kids that have learning disabilities. And whenever I finished, I decided I needed to start with adults. So I worked with profound mental illness to get started. And then I worked in state agencies, the Harris County Jail, working all with adults. And then I had some teenage caseloads sprinkled in there. And so I really just fell into working with foster kids whenever I started my private practice. And it was such a natural transition into working with these kids. And so the passion comes from kids make my heart. And I will do anything for a child, whether they're biologically mine or somebody else's, and I'm just meeting them, I don't know them, I'll do anything for a kid. And so it was almost like God was pulling me into that. And I wasn't aware of it at the time.
I would say not almost. God was pulling you in. There's no such thing as a coincidence, Rebecca. I agree.
Yep. And so all this time, so I started doing, for my nonprofit, Love Heals Youth, I started doing this work 15 plus years ago, but I wasn't listening. I'm licensed to listen, but I wasn't, I didn't hear that message like I think I was supposed to, or maybe it was really that I still had growth before it was time for me to make that transition. And I think there were some humbling moments, a lot of humbling moments along the way that I needed to truly experience before I was able to get into the group. A lot of it is I needed to grow thicker skin because I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to like me and I'll bend over backwards, but I had to learn that it's okay for people to not like me. I have to do everything I can to do the right thing. And if I've upset somebody, I want an opportunity to fix whatever I've done wrong. But if they still choose to not like me, then I have to accept that. And that's been the growth process.
So, well, that's a tough one though. And I get that. But when you are changing the game, which you are, you're going to make a lot of people happy, but you're going to make some people unhappy along the way. And you cannot control that.
You can't.
There are people that have their own agenda. And there are people out there that for whatever reason, want to see you fail. Yes. Why? Who knows why? That's on them. And you can't let that bother you, right? You have to just continue to stay focused on what you're trying to achieve.
That's right. So God and I have had many, many discussions about this. And every time I start to doubt myself, something would happen and he would nudge me. And so I'd say, okay, I'm listening this time, God. I hear you loud and clear, and I keep going. So Love Heals Youth was born in 2020, right in the heat of COVID. And this is my passion. This is what you're talking about, where I will climb the tallest mountain, walk to the ends of the earth, and do anything I can to take care of these kids. And Love Heals Youth was born in 2020, but because of COVID, we really didn't, I mean, it just sat there. It really just sat there and did nothing. And in summer of 2021 is when I decided it was time to start pushing. So we started growing the services, but I really wasn't out there raising awareness at that time. It was the summer of 2022 where we did a benefit for Uvalde. One of the local owners here, Joe Halidi, decided he wanted to do something for Uvalde and reached out to me and asked if, because we wanted to do something different, something unique, not just donate money.
Right.
And so we talked about it and I'm a yes girl. So I said, yes. And we put it all together in about 2 weeks. And that's really what kind of catapulted Love Heals Youth into that next level. And that's when we exploded. So we're really just in our.
And you have exploded. There's no question. And when you were talking about that, Love Heals Youth was sort of a, not on the back burner, but really wasn't able to move forward during COVID. COVID, that time period is so frustrating to me, to everybody. You know, it was such a frustrating time period in our country and in our world. But when you were mentioning that, think of all the kids that were not able to get helped because of COVID.
Right. Well, so I'm going to give you a different way of how COVID changed.
Okay. The positive, the glass of water is half full.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So my private practice, that's the Counseling Center in Montgomery County. We have the contract with DWI and Drug Court.
Okay.
So we have, I don't know, at that time, maybe 100, 150 clients that were coming through our practice, my practice for therapeutic services. And it's a very intensive program.
Oh, big. And so, a lot of clients. That's a big practice.
Yeah. It's even bigger now because we're taking care of more people now that COVID's over. But before COVID shut everything down, I had foresight and thought to myself, I've got to figure this out because we can't leave our clients without support. So 2 weeks before COVID shut everything down, I had never heard of Zoom, but somebody mentioned it. So I stayed up all night and had six different devices and created six different accounts and started playing with it and learned it. And then I set up 689 meetings for groups that night. And so that way we were able to continue. So we went hybrid 2 weeks before COVID hit. So our clients already had exposure to doing groups over Zoom. So we started doing that. And then when COVID shut everything down, we were already up and running virtually. So now
you were good with Zoom.
Yeah. So now it's just getting everybody completely, all 100% of our clients shifted over. And then my office, I own my office building. And so I was able to turn, I have one office that has an exit door in it. So I turned the interior door, the knobs around and just locked it. And so this way, anyone that didn't have access to Wi-Fi or didn't have a device, I bought a cheap computer to put in there and left instructions. So it was already connected to Wi-Fi. So all they had to do, they would text me. I'd give them the code to get into the office. They could go sit in the office and use the computer and get on their
phone.
So we never skipped a beat. And so we had a very low recidivism rate or relapse rate for our clientele.
That's awesome.
So that is one of the things COVID pushed me to go completely digital with all my notes and all of our charts. And so everything is electronic. So we can literally work from anywhere to serve our clients and take care of our clients.
That is good. That's a big positive.
And it also makes it possible for us now, because the clients that we work with that are foster youth are 12 to 17 and they move so frequently. It allows us to provide continuity in services. So if they're with us here in Montgomery County, Texas, and then they have to move to another area of the state, they don't have to start over. They can continue services with a counselor from Love Hills Youth. And we're 100% free for the clients, for the caregivers, for the group homes, for the taxpayers. We don't bill anybody anything for the services that we provide.
So how does somebody get involved with Love Hills Youth? If you know somebody who you feel needs your services, how would they know that you would be a good match? And how do they get in touch with you at Love Hills Youth?
So you can go to our website. That's the easiest way probably to learn a little bit more about what we do. That's www.lovehillsyouth.com. And you can peruse the website. There are options to, if you're a group home, request the welcome home bag right there on the homepage. Then you can go to enroll in services and sign up to get started, reach out to us, and we will do whatever we can. Not only do we serve foster youth, but I didn't want for there to be a drop of services once they turn 18. Because when they turn 18, that's it. The group home just launches them. And
state is like, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, but so they're not done.
They're not done. And they haven't even gotten started. And
right.
So they don't have the skill set they need to survive. And so a lot of times they're homeless. So I just
that's why 80% of our population in prisons have gone through foster care, right?
Right. And we're serving the most vulnerable of the most vulnerable kids, because our primary focus right now is the kids that are in group homes.
Yeah.
So we serve, another huge part of our services are for folks that are experiencing homelessness. So probably about 60% of our clientele are foster youth and the other 40% are homeless. And then we also offer scholarships through, we have a really great nonprofit here called Mosaics of Mercy. And they are navigators for mental health services and just in our county here in Montgomery County, Texas. And they try to connect. You call in, they listen to what's going on and wrap their minds around conceptualizing the situation. And then they'll reach out to different mental health providers. We've got about 1,200 mental health providers here in the county, from counselors to social workers to marriage and family counselors, psychologists, and so on and so forth. But they don't have all 1,200, of course, but they'll reach out to the different providers and connect the client with the provider. Now, if they've got somebody
Can you give that organization another plug really quick so people know what it is?
Sure. Mosaics of Mercy.
Okay.
And they are specific for Montgomery County, Texas.
Okay. Okay. But there are other organizations throughout the country, I'm sure, similar to that or no? No.
Not that I know of. They're unique.
Wow.
They're,
okay.
Yeah, they're pioneers in what they're doing here. It's really impressive. So they have counselors that are answering the phones to talk to the people that are calling, asking for help. So you're not just calling and talking to just anybody. You're calling and talking to a mental health professional.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so we give them scholarships. So if somebody calls in and they don't have the financial resources to find help, then they will connect them with us. And we give scholarships for those that don't have any resources. So we're serving our foster youth. We're serving the folks going through homelessness. And then we have scholarships for folks that don't have the financial means to afford therapy. Because if your insurance doesn't pay for it, then it can get very expensive.
Yeah. And insurance, I mean, a lot of people don't have insurance, right?
Right.
And that's just the reality.
Yeah. Our economy right now is so bad and folks are really falling on very, very hard times. which means mental health is suffering even more.
Even more. Yeah. I love your positive attitude and your passion just comes through. But this is a topic that can really get you down. It's discouraging. But I know you have some success stories. Share with us one or two great success stories that you had.
Okay. So I want to talk about a young lady that still lives here. She started with me when she was living at one of the foster group homes that's here in our county, Montgomery County, Texas. And another great organization, it's called Yes to Youth. They have back then they had two homes. Now they have one emergency shelter. It's called Bridgeway. And so she was about 14 years old when she went into care living in Bridgeway. And so at this time, I was the one going out there to see all the kids. And I went to meet her. And you could tell just right off the bat, there's something unique about her. And a very, very special young lady. So we became very, very close. And of course, when you're going through all these change is stressful for anybody. It does not discriminate on age, religion, education level. I mean, it really change is stressful. Yep.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's horrible. And so she's going through a lot at this time. She was very fortunate to find a forever family that ended up adopting her. And so this was many years ago that I met her. She graduated from college, got a bachelor's degree, and works for CPS, is married, has two children of her own, and is working on going to finish her master's degree now to also become a counselor.
So wow.
Somebody
that's cool.
Very cool.
That's cool.
She's like a one percenter to make it all the way through and become so successful. She had an abundance of support. And I think she will tell you, like most of the foster kids that I stay in touch with, the one person that was constant, filled with love and support, that never went away was their therapist.
Oh, man. The key phrase right there, filled with love, right?
Love.
I mean,
That's right.
People need to be loved.
And to think about these kids being at home or in the group home all alone, no one to hug them, no one to love on them, no one to give them a kiss goodnight or wipe away their tears. It weighs very heavily on my heart. And so I find that to be the biggest push in my drive to be passionate in what I'm doing with the nonprofit.
Is there ever a day that where you just are like, man, I can't do this anymore. It's too much. It's too emotional.
I mean, there's times that it's overwhelming. And then I find myself on my knees and talking to God. And one of the things that I love about prayer, and this is, I tell my clients all the time, regardless if you're Christian or not, prayer is such a great way to build your internal dialogue, because you start by talking about your problems, confessing your problems. You follow that with asking for help. And then you finish it off by sharing something that you're grateful for. And there's just no better way to work through whatever that depression or anxiety is that you're experiencing. And then that prayer helps you develop that internal dialogue. So you can pray anywhere, because you can have that dialogue anywhere. And that's between you and God. Nobody else has to hear
right.
it. You don't want them to.
Right. That's right.
Even the devil can't hear it if you're saying it silently between you and God.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Well, we all have those days where we get up in the morning and we just feel a little bit sluggish, or just, it's not as positive as we need to be. And I always say that we really need to get up and attack the day. I used to say we need to embrace the day, but I think in today's world, that's not strong enough, because you've experienced this, people will try to knock you down. And so it's going to happen. So you've got to attack it. Attack it in a good way, positive way, but you got to be ready. So in the morning, when you get up, it's like, okay, all right, God, what's up for today? Let's go. All systems go. And so for me, though, when I say, God, what's up for today? I really want him to answer me. He hasn't said, Jeff, this is what's on your agenda today. That would be awesome if he would do that. Hasn't happened yet, but still going to attack the day.
Yeah, and I like the plan. And being a woman, being a female, I like my plan. I want my calendar all nice and orderly. Sometimes God just isn't going to give me that. And he says, my time, my agenda. And so I have to concede and follow suit. And every single time, it always works out. Every
That's called time. Having faith.
That's right. That's having faith.
Great. So what's next for Love Heals Youth? What's on the horizon?
So we are so excited. We have our concert coming up, and we have three local musicians, singer-songwriters, and one of them's an actress, and they're rising stars. I really believe that Darren McLeod and Peyton Riley are going to be folks that you see at some point with some major albums coming out.
Yeah, they'll be common names at some point.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're only 14 and 15 right now.
Which is crazy to think that, you know, having had a chance to hear, especially Peyton Riley, man, what a talent. What a talent.
Yes. Yes. And Peyton, at 14 years of age, has written over 50 songs on her own and then has turned in a couple of my poems into the most beautiful songs you've ever heard. I mean, her talent far exceeds anybody that I've ever met. She's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Agreed. Yeah. Happy to say we're going to have her on the podcast.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great news. I'll tell you what, if I had her ambition and poise at 14, I can only imagine where I'd be today. But she and Dare both are just two young ladies that impress me every single time that I see them. And their hearts are so huge. And they are so eager to give back and to be peer mentors or coaches for our foster youth. And so they come to our day of counseling that we host at Love Heals Youth, which is basically just therapeutic stations set up, and we rotate every 35, 45.
But they're giving of their time.
They give their time, and they'll sit up there and talk with the kids and strum the guitar, and they all start singing. It is just the most amazing, heartfelt thing to watch. And if you are able to make it through the day without shedding a tear, then I'll have to call you the Tin Man. But there is nothing more impressive than our day of counseling and having those two young ladies come out and be with the kids. It's amazing.
Awesome. And the third artist?
And the third artist is Jeff Canada. And he is a rising star also. He's older. He's an adult. But he has the most incredible music. Great songs, and he's a singer-songwriter. He's been all over the place touring for concerts and opening up for some big names. So I would encourage you to look up all three of them. They all three have songs that you can stream on just about any platform, I believe. So they're great. So our concert is October the 1st. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's at Do-Si-Do Big Barn in the Woodlands, Texas. And they're going to come and rock it out. And it's going to be just the most incredible experience. And we've got custom shirts that I designed, and all three of them will be on it. And it's a limited edition.
Awesome. That you designed personally.
I did. I designed all of our
shirts. Perfect. Okay. All right. Okay.
And then we had full printing donated a couple of guitars that are wrapped with all three of the artists on there. And they're going to sign that. And if possible, we're going to potentially write the lyrics to the song that is from my poem called Love Heals that Peyton and I co-wrote together.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So great segue. Would you mind reading just a bit or all of the poem Love Heals? It is a very moving poem. I mean, it is just incredible.
I would love to. I'd love to share that. And it's also on our website on the homepage, if anybody would like to go back and read it in private or with somebody. And so I wrote this poem based on all of the things that I've heard in the last 20 years from the kids that I've worked with and hearing what they have to say. And then, so there's two parts to it. The first part is growing up in foster care. The second part is about that relationship that helps you move past the trauma. And in the poem, I'm talking about the relationship with God. And I find that a lot of times the kids in foster care are resistant, maybe, or in disbelief, because how could a God exist that would allow me to feel this way? But whenever we start talking about love and support and encouragement, and they feel something so different, something they've never really had before, that's when they become very hungry to learn more and to experience that love and to learn more about God. So the first part, again, is growing up. The second part is about that relationship with somebody, specifically God. When no one sees me, I've been cast away and misunderstood, never to feel what all children should. As the days pass and turn into years, I have no one around to wipe away tears. If there's a God out there, I beg of you, bring me home for a different view. As a small child, they said no one else could hurt me, but the strangers were mean, so I ran seeking safety. I saw things only nightmares consist of. My world is empty, not an ounce of love. If there's a God out there, hear my plea. Take away the pain and set me free. A childhood spent locked away, doing time, suffering consequences for my parents' crime. Feeling hopeless and lost with nowhere to go, an emptiness that only the foster kids know. If there's a God out there, why can't you see me? The pain that dwells deep within me. There's no family that wants a broken teen, labeled as trouble, a past that's obscene. Forgotten by this world that doesn't care, given a life that just isn't fair. If there's a God out there, I need you now. I'll give you my heart. That's my vow. When someone sees me, an answer to my prayer is finally revealed, with hope that my wounds might be healed. A grown-up I trust, giving me love, says I'm a blessing sent from above. God gave me light to chase away pain. The darkness fades with the love I gain. There's no greater feeling than when you belong, loving you despite what you've done wrong. A gentleness like I've never known, encouragement that no one has shown. God heard my plea and gave me hope, removed the grip of the rope. You found me when I was ready to quit, showed me mercy when I was throwing a fit. You gave me guidance to expose my abilities and gave me grace through my hostilities. God, you see me and know my heart. All things are possible with you in my cart. Believing in me when all hope was lost, ready to catch me regardless of cost. I've never known a love like you share, an unwavering devotion lined with care. God sends us angels when we are willing to see, transformative love that sets you free.
Rebecca Smith Nash, you are a game changer. Don't stop what you're doing. The world needs you, and we need more people like you. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do one more question. Have a little fun with this. Three people in this world, current or past, who you would want to interview. Anyone, current or past, in this world.
Current or past. Well, I think I would have to start with Jesus. I would have to start
I want to have a sit down with Jesus.
And I know someday. I'm not too anxious to get there. I've got plenty of other things that I want to accomplish, but I would
absolutely
love to sit down and talk to him about his trials and tribulations and how is it that you can have so many people be so mean. And I know that he had plenty of people that were so nice and sought him out for guidance and healing. But the people that were so mean and nailing him to the cross, like, how are you able to love through that? And keep me inspired, Jesus, because that is a love that I wish we could all exude.
Unconditional, undying love.
Unconditional, undying love. So I love to love, and I love how Jesus loves us more than any of us can ever comprehend. Mm. So that'd be one. I think my second person would probably be, I don't know if I can put names to it because I don't even know if I know their names. I want to interview, what was the coach's name that passed away from cancer? And he had that most inspiring speech at one of the award shows. And I'm embarrassed to say that I can't think of his name.
Jimmy V. Salvano?
Yes. Thank you. Him. His speech, I have watched it 1,000 times. And you'd think I'd know his name right now, but I'm going to blame it on
it's
me.
It's all right. You got a lot of things on your mind. It's all right.
So he is such an incredible human being. And that speech, I don't know how many times I've seen it, but I think that when you have that kind of adversity that you're facing, knowing that the end of your life is coming very, very soon, and to be so young, but still be so motivational. I mean, it just makes me want to cry. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. But how do you find acceptance in that level? Because acceptance is so critical to be able to experience true happiness. But I just think he was amazing. So I'd love to sit down and talk with him and absorb everything that I can.
Good. I love the first two selections there, Rebecca. Who's the third?
My third one would have to be Santa Claus.
Why did you forget me when I was 9 years old?
Oh, no. My sister is older, and my friends, as we got older and everybody started telling me that Santa Claus isn't real, I refused to believe.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I took him to task. There's no chance that Santa's not real. Santa's real, man.
That is right.
I got proof.
Well, he really was a real person, and so I even wrote a report on it. So St. Nicholas really was a person that gave toys to children in need. So I would love to sit down and interview Santa Claus and talk about what a cool job he has to bring joy to every single kid in the world.
Yeah, and like, why does Rudolph always get to go in front every single year? I mean, you got to mix it up a little bit.
Because he has a nose that lights up the way.
There you go. The high beam light. All right.
Yeah. Low beam, high beam.
Rebecca, this has been so great. Thank you so much for being here. And truth be told, this is your second interview. The first one, you know, in full transparency to the audience, it didn't come through technological problems associated with that. So I'm so grateful for you coming back. You are a game changer. Please continue what you're doing. How can people get in touch with you and learn more about you and your organizations, Love Heals Youth and your counseling?
Well, first, thank you so much again for having me here. I love talking about this and I love sharing our mission. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that. You can find us on the internet, lovehealsyouth.com. You can find us on social media, Instagram and Facebook. Please reach out to us anytime. We have connections on all of those platforms to be able to email us directly or sign up to volunteer. And we are excited to have anyone join the team. We don't have any paid staff, so we're 100% run by volunteers, and we need all the help we can get.
Says a lot. So again, thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for what you're doing. And I want to thank my sponsor, Magic Mind. Rebecca, have you ever heard of Magic Mind? Maybe you haven't. It is the world's first productivity shot. Now, I need more than one of those every day, but it's the world's first productivity shot. It's like 2 ounces of green magic. And yeah, I drink it with my coffee every morning. It's full of all of these organic vitamins and stuff that I don't even know how to pronounce some of the stuff that's in there, but I know it's good. I know it's good. Magic Mind.
I'm going to look it up.
You can find it at magicmind.com, the world's first productivity shot. And I thank them for being a sponsor of Game Changers. Rebecca, again, thank you so much for being here. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Today was a great day. Tomorrow will be even better. Peace, everyone. Find out more about the show at GameChangersWithJeff.com. And make sure you're following Game Changers on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are everywhere. Never miss an episode. We appreciate you listening. Grateful for your following.